Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day in our weekly rhythm to keep us all in sync, studying the same things, where we see how the Bible changes and transforms our thinking on this week's topic. And this week we've been looking at a story where God rescued his people, Israel, from what looked like certain death. They'd been backed into a corner. The Egyptian army was advancing on them. If they went left or right, they'd have to climb a mountain. If they went back, they'd have to swim across an expanse of water. And it looked like they were in a completely helpless, hopeless situation that would lead to their certain death. Now, it seems like God was aware of all this and may even have known this might happen. He knew they would have fears. He knew they would have a lack of trust. And yet, he chose to save them anyway. He still intervened miraculously, doing what nobody expected, taking the waters of the Red Sea behind the Israelites, spreading them apart so the Israelites could walk across on dry land, and then closing them up just as the Egyptian army advanced into the same crossing. This would have been an incredible thing to see. The Israelites, imagine what they would have experienced and learned from this. They could trust their God. Their God would save them. When their God leads them somewhere, he follows through. And imagine what the Egyptians learned. Don't mess with this God. Don't mess with this nation when God has a plan for them. Nothing can stop God's plan and God's promises. From the Israelites' perspective, they were in a completely hopeless, lost situation. They were going to die, as far as they knew. If it was up to them, they were going to die or surrender back into slavery, and it wasn't even a guarantee that the Egyptians would let them come back as slaves. They might just slaughter them on the spot for being disobedient slaves. Slave owners can be pretty ruthless. But that's not what happened. God had a better plan. Long ago, God had promised to Abraham, the forefather of all of Israel, that he was going to bless the entire world through Abraham and his millions of descendants, that he was going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. And over again, it looked like that plan wasn't going to work out until God intervened and showed his mighty power. It's exactly what happened in this situation. Yet again, it looked like the descendants of Abraham just weren't going to work out. This was it for them. They were all going to be slaughtered on the spot, or they were going to drown or die trying to climb through mountains. And yet, God followed through on his plan. God's plan wasn't for them to die in that spot, even though it looked like it was going to happen, even though it was the Egyptians' plan, even though the Israelites had given up any hope. God still had a plan for them to change the world through them, and nothing would stop that plan. All that probably seemed improbable to a nation of slaves who had just escaped from slavery. It's easy to lose your hope and your dreams as a slave. I recently visited a place called Uncle Tom's Cabin, symbolically considered the end of the Underground Railway. It's in southwestern Ontario. It was a farm community established by an escaped slave, where other escaped slaves were able to learn a trade, go to school, and have the freedom to make their own money, to make their own way, to build their own homes, and live in peace. It was incredible to hear the story of how this got established. Josiah, the man known as Uncle Tom, had even tried to buy his own freedom at one point. He made a deal with his owner where he was going to pay a certain amount of money to be freed from slavery. They even signed a contract, but since Josiah couldn't actually read, he didn't know that the owner jacked up the price on the contract, such that when Josiah tried to prove to others that he was freed, he had no resources with which to actually buy his freedom. He had nothing. He'd been tricked. And this is exactly what the Israelites were used to. Every time Pharaoh said he was going to free them during the plagues, he reneged on his promises. They were mistreated, they were abused, they were tricked. They had no reason to hope that they would ever be freed. And yet, in their hopelessness, God came through. Now, because he couldn't buy his freedom, he eventually just had to escape. And he did that. He traveled the Underground Railway, preaching his way as he went. Never read a Bible, he was illiterate, but he knew his Bible better than anyone, and made his way through America preaching until he arrived in Canada. And as he reached Canadian shores, he reportedly kissed the ground in joy at having finally found freedom. And imagine the Israelites doing the same, reaching the other side of the Red Sea, watching the waters crash down on their would-be captors, and the joy they would have had. This is why the Israelites, people of Israel, now known as Jews, this is why they, every year, celebrate the Passover, to remember that God rescued them from slavery by passing over their firstborn males, letting them escape, helping them through the Red Sea, guiding them through the desert towards the Promised Land. This is why they celebrate every year the Feast of Passover. And that was the feast where Jesus arrived at Jerusalem and was killed. That was no coincidence at all. There were some important reasons why Jesus wanted to be associated with the Passover. There were important reasons why he wanted people to look at his death and resurrection and relate it to this Exodus event of the Israelites being led through the waters of the Red Sea into freedom in a new land. I want you to see if you can try to figure out what that is. So here's your question for today. In what ways was the Exodus a defining moment for the relationship between Israel and God? And how do you think the Exodus foreshadowed what Jesus would do for Israel and us? All right, have a great discussion, and I'll see you tomorrow.